This is a favourite on this particular show of an afternoon when we talk about those multinationals that dodge tax and don't pay it. Of Australia's 1,900 largest companies, more than 600 of the entities on that list pay absolutely no tax at all. Nowhere is the impotence of politicians and regulators more costly than in their failure to stand up to multinational corporations dodging tax. Michael West, that has been put very, very beautifully, and I'm sure there's many people listening to us this afternoon that would agree with you. Hello, Michael. Thank you for your time.
G'day, Brent. Good to be on the show.
Now, the Tax Office publishes an annual list of Australia's 1,900 largest companies, which shows their revenue, their profit, and their tax expense, and only 600 of these companies actually pay tax at the statutory rate of 30%. We are always talking about, you know, the big-name companies that don't pay tax in this country, yet make billions, in some cases, of dollars, and how the governments continue to allow them to get away with it. I know that a couple of years ago, when Joe Hockey was the Treasurer, there was a G20 meeting in Brisbane, and one of the things they were talking about is they were going to sit down and work out how they could get tax out of these multinationals, and so far, all these years later, it doesn't seem that we've moved forward on this agenda at all.
No, Brent, look, I'm mildly optimistic, though, because, you know, it's a matter of public information, and now the matter of tax fairness is well and truly out there in the public domain. Like, your listeners who pay their fair share of tax will mostly be aware now that the richest, biggest global corporations operating in Australia don't pay their fair share. So there's a general awareness now of tax cheating, and things like the double Dutch Irish sandwich, which Apple, you know, used to crow about.
Yeah.
Thought it was quite funny. But people no longer see these things as exotic and so on. They see them as a scam now. So the more public awareness there is, the more there will be impetus for reform. The politicians admit it themselves, but the problem is the influence of these companies and the big business lobby is such that they whine and whinge every time there's any sort of, it looks like there might be some sort of change.
Michael, in layman's terms, can you explain to the audience this afternoon, how do they do it? How do they get away with it?
Well, there's a number of different ways, Brent. Just in that list, by the way, you mentioned the 600 that don't pay their 30%. There's also 600 or around about the third of the biggest companies that don't pay any tax.
That's right. They pay zero tax.
There can be good reasons for this. One, you know, companies can make a loss in 1 year and so they shouldn't pay tax if they're making a loss, clearly. And the other thing is that the list also does include trusts, and trusts don't pay tax like a company does. They don't pay income tax. It's incumbent on the members or the unit holders to pay their tax, but they're often on 15%, or they're based in the Cayman Islands or something, so they wouldn't be paying much anyway. But there's a number of ways of dodging tax. One of the big ways is giving yourself a loan. So let's say, Glencore, for instance, the big coal company, it gave itself a loan from its Swiss entity, an entity in Zurich, to Australia, a $3.4 billion loan with interest rates of up to 9%. And so the Australian operation then pays that 9% interest rate back to Switzerland. Now, that's above the tax line on the profit and loss statement, on the income statement. So effectively what it's doing is it's just this massive loan, and it rakes out, it siphons out the money back to Switzerland before it has to pay tax on it. A lot of companies do this. The biggest bookmaker in Australia, William Hill, which is the UK mob, I've had a little dig through their accounts and found this sort of $600 million loan from Gibraltar. And I asked them about it, and they always stonewall with these companies. But I mean, what's the point of this company getting a $600 million loan from Gibraltar? It's just a scam. It's as simple as that. Now, a lot of them do it through these big loans to related entities overseas, to tax havens and so on. The other way to do it is transfer pricing. So you sell yourself another entity, you sell your commodities at a lower price than you should, so you don't pay as much tax and royalties and so on. And so it's just fiddling about with the price at which you sell yourself your own goods from one entity to the other. I mean, it's very hard to police because they all say, oh, it's all arm's length and we've had independent legal advice and all this sort of stuff. But that's how the big pharma companies do it. If you go through the balance sheets of the big pharma companies, you know, Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer and all these ones, they pay a suspiciously low amount of tax, even though they get massive billion-dollar subsidies under the PDF regime. They pay a suspiciously low amount of tax because they're huge in transfer pricing. And there's the other way to do it, of course, is IP, which is the way IKEA does it. So, you know, every dollar you spend in an IKEA store, some of it ends back up in Holland, in this tax-effective trust or something in Holland. And so what they do is they charge the Australian company, the IKEA headquarters, charges the Australian company here an intellectual property bill.
Right.
So basically, you see, there's three ways of getting money out of a company. One is royalties on intellectual property. Two is interest on loans. And three is dividends on equity or shares. And those are the three main ways. But the guts of it is, because Australia is relatively high taxing, hence our standard of living. And so the aim of the multinational operating here is to make as little profit in Australia as possible. Because if you make a profit, you have to pay tax on it. And some are more aggressive than others. I mean, Google, for instance, it doesn't even recognise its revenues here, the money it makes from its advertising business here in Australia, $2 or $3 billion a year, that just gets booked straight to Singapore.
Right.
Because they deem that this is not an Australian business, it's a Singaporean business.
Okay. And is that similar with Apple, how they do their business here in Australia?
Well, they're finally starting to pay a bit of tax. This is a massive company, mind you, Apple. It's the world's biggest company. And they paid $80 million annual tax last time I had a look. But, you know, for a company that makes $6,000 million in revenue in Australia, $80 million is a drop in the ocean. So they're starting to pay a little bit more because they've had such bad publicity that doesn't marry with their bright public image. And so they are paying a bit, but no, they've been doing it through this Dutch double Irish sandwich thing, basically just bulking up their costs in Australia so they don't make much of a profit, and through all sorts of deals getting the money out to Ireland, which has a particularly low tax regime.
So are we getting any closer, are the governments getting any closer to being able to get revenue out of these companies, out of these big companies on an ongoing basis? In other words, make them pay the tax that they owe at this country?
Well, they are. I mean, they've done a bit. I mean, it's an uphill battle because there's so many. They all do it now. I mean, very few multinationals pay their fair share. Nestle pays a bit. Philip Morris, a cigarette manufacturer, perhaps for obvious reasons, they're a huge taxpayer on top of their excise and state taxes and things as well, which is an irony, which doesn't reflect well on the multinational community that the cigarette manufacturer is the best taxpayer. They may do it out of guilt or fear of having their excise lifted elsewhere if they didn't pay their fair share. But look, the government's trying to do stuff about it. The ATO has launched a crackdown on American digital companies and a few others because they're the worst offenders. The Americans are the worst when it comes to tax dodging. You know, your Ubers, your Airbnbs, your Apple, Google, all these, Facebook, Twitter, all these new companies, they've all got their own little scams. I've written about all of those and exposed them over the years.
Now, we were talking about how these companies are getting away with it, and I see in your article there, it talks about the role that ASICS is playing. Are they doing the right thing or not? Are they, I mean, there have been other people that have said ASICS is a toothless tiger. Do they continue to be that way or not?
Well, they do. They tend to bust sort of smaller companies and financial planners and those kind of things.
Yeah.
And, when it comes to the big players like the banks, they do sort of private settlements. So the bigger the robber you are, the less the penalty, generally, when it comes to white-collar stuff. But their issue here is that these companies engage in all sorts of financial accounting chicanery, the sort of stuff we were talking about before the news break.
Yes.
So what needs to be done, and we've got a fair bit of traction on this in Canberra, thanks to those Senate multinational tax avoidance inquiries last year and the year before, it's about transparency and filing proper accounts. Now, the financial statements. So people can, so the tax office and ASIC and everybody, like the public, like me and you, can go in and get these accounts and can look at them and go, right, we can see this related party transaction between here and Gibraltar, wherever it is. you know, they need to file proper what they call general purpose financial statements rather than special purpose financial statements. A bit technical, but the guts of it is that the disclosure is much higher. And these guys like to operate, tax advisors, tax lawyers, and the big four accounting firms like to operate in the shadows. They're the ones that set the rules anyway. They're the ones that advise government on tax policy. And that's got to stop, because these guys are the principal architects of tax avoidance as well. We're talking PwC, EY, KPMG and Deloitte. These guys advise government on tax policy, but they also advise their multinational clients. But, you know, 99% of multinationals are audited by those four firms and advised by those four firms. So there has to be an awareness now of who's involved in the racket, and government has to stand up. ASIC and the ATO and Department of Finance and the Prime Minister, etc., they've got to stand up to these multinational avoiders and not get bogged down in the detail of technical excuses. And, you know, the catch cry, Brent, is, oh, it's perfectly legal. We've had independent legal advice. Now, you can argue anything's legal if it's complicated enough and there's enough grey area. But the one good thing is, once a year, these companies have to file financial statements, and when they do, we go, oh, look at that. And so the two that I pulled out for the piece that you read, Goldman Sachs, the very well-known Wall Street investment bank, which operates here, and SAB Miller, which is Australia's biggest beer company.
Yes.
Now, you'd think Australia's biggest beer company, a company with $3 billion in revenue, might pay a bit of tax. But you'd be wrong if you thought that, because they collect a lot of tax, like PAYG, but their income tax shows zero for the past 2 years, $3 billion worth of revenue. Goldman Sachs making $600 or $700 million and paying zero too. So, you know, they need to be named and shamed. And the one good thing we have is this list now, which shows everybody who's paying tax, who's not, and how much they're paying.
Just on the standard, this SAB Miller, I mean, $3.5 billion and they pay zero in tax, nothing.
No, I put it to them, and they...
What did they say?
Well, these guys have got professional public relations people, and they came back with this very sort of, strong statement about, we collect hundreds of millions of dollars of tax every year, but collecting tax, you know, like PAYG to pay the staff, GST, probably include withholding tax and all sorts of other taxes as well as beer excise, alcohol taxes and so on, but that's not the same as the company paying income tax. So you get these disingenuous statements. Goldman Sachs didn't even bother responding. They just go, you know, so what? And so, you know, it's about naming these companies, people being aware that they pay no tax, and I'm quite positive that things will change. I mean, 100 years ago, it was legal to hit your wife. I mean, it's no longer... Once community standards change on an issue, then the laws can take a while to change, but eventually they will change as well. And tax fairness, especially at a time when, it, you know, we're taking the axe to casual work entitlements and to, you know, to Social Security, the poorest people and so on, especially at this time, you know, this issue is very critical, and it means the government won't be able to issue the reforms that they want to issue unless they deal with this, because people will just get up in arms and say, well, hang on, these
That's
guys
right.
don't pay any tax,
yeah.
so why should we?
Absolutely, and I mean, governments keep daily crying poor. All they've got to do is, as it says in your article, or if amendments are required, legislation would be a simple process. All it requires is political courage in the face of powerful vested interests striving to conceal their true financial state of affairs. In other words, if the government's gross and you-know-what, make some decisions, and all of a sudden their financial woes don't go out the door, but my goodness me, they get a kick in the bank account, don't they?
Oh, absolutely, and this is why the media is so important in this, and I'm very happy to come on radio shows such as yours, because the more people understand this issue of tax fairness, you know, the more there will be reform, because people will talk about it and bring it up the whole time and talk to their local members. And the latest one, of course, is we look like we're about to get another oil and gas, a mining company scare campaign on TV, because they haven't been paying their fair share of royalties from, you know, Northwest Shelf and so on.
Yeah.
And you know what gas prices have done. I mean, we've all, like electricity prices, they've doubled.
That's right.
And they've doubled for various reasons. But the fact is, these companies Australia produces the same amount of gas as Qatar, but Qatar picks up three times the amount of royalty revenue than the Australian government does. So Qatar gets $26 billion a year for its gas, for royalties. That's the payment that the company, it's not really a tax, it's the payment that the company pays to get access to our natural resources.
Yes.
And Australia gets $8 billion. So, I mean, we're just getting legged over.
When you put it like that, I mean, it's just crazy. And that's why, you know, you get people constantly ringing here complaining about all that you and I have talked about. I've taken up enough of your time. It's been lovely chatting with you. Thank you for being so generous with your time, Michael. It's been
Anytime,
lovely talking
man.
To you. Thank
Wonderful
you, Michael.
To be on the show, mate.
Okay, Michael. Thanks, mate. Bye-bye.
Great.
That's Michael West.